In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd, dear fellow lambs. I have a friend in Winchester, Virginia, that I like and that I highly respect. He is a pastor, a good man of God with a heart for the Word of God and a heart for the lost. He's also a fisherman, and I've enjoyed many an hour standing in the middle of the Shenandoah River waiting and casting for smallmouth with him. He likes Civil War history and hiking. He's a good guy. In fact, he also, even one of his hobbies is home brewing, and he's an official member of the Winchester Beer Guild. How can't you respect someone like that? But there's one thing that I have a little bit of a problem with. I don't know, I should probably talk to him personally, not just all of you today in the middle of a sermon, but there's one thing that I have a little bit of a problem with, and it's this. It's his pet. He owns a pet snake. It's a ball python. And the first time I ever visited him at his home, he was so excited for me to see this snake, and I was so excited to go to lunch as fast as possible. I didn't want to see the thing, and I didn't want to hear the details about what he had to feed the thing. We're not going to go into that right now. And then this year, for his Christmas card, which he sends out, he's not married yet, it's himself and his snake. And he's got a hat on, a Santa hat, and he's got a little Santa hat for the snake on there, too. And I get it, it's kind of supposed to be funny and cute. But that's, sorry, I have to admit, that's one of the cards that did not make it on the front of the refrigerator. Mm-mm. I'm not going to be looking at that when I'm going for the refrigerator. I just don't like that idea of having a pet snake. Now, I am sorry, I don't mean to offend anyone here today if you are a pet snake aficionado. Again, we can be friends, and that's okay, but it's just not really my thing. I can't imagine having a pet snake. But I will admit, I would be more concerned about my friend if I not only received a Christmas card from him with his little pet snake and the Santa hat, but if he called me up on the phone and said, you know, John, I've got some real tough news. My pet snake is not doing so well. I think she's going to need a new kidney, and I'm going to consider giving part of my kidney for my snake. I'd say no. Or if he called me up and he's in the hospital and he had broken his leg in a number of places, I said, What's wrong? He said, well, my pet snake got loose, was going out in the middle of the road, and I saw a truck coming. So without even a second thought, I ran out into the road and I threw myself in front of my pet snake so that she would live. Or if I got a call saying, yeah, I'm in real bad shape, what was happening? We were walking through a battlefield, and there was a live grenade on the ground, and I was with my pet snake, and I didn't want her to get it, so I jumped on the grenade. I don't want her to get hurt. I'd say, my friend, as soon as you get out of that hospital, I've got another hospital for you to go to. The men wear white coats, and they're very nice. We're going to get you some help. And I would say that to you, too. Why? Okay, if you want to keep if you want to keep a different pet, that's fine. But you wouldn't really give your life for something like a snake. At least I hope you wouldn't. If you think you would, come and talk to me. And we'll do some counseling. And I know this illustration is a little bit over the top. And no, my friend really wouldn't do that for his snake. But I don't know almost any other way to get us to begin to think about how shocking the words of the shepherd Jesus Christ are today in John chapter 10. These are words that are beautiful and wonderful. Some of you have been hearing these words since you were going to sleep with stuffed little lambs in your bed. And you love them, and that's good. But you maybe you've heard them so many times
you've forgotten how shocking, or you missed how shocking they are. It begins beautifully and wonderfully. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. But then after that line, line number two in our text, would have made the people of his time have their eyeballs pop out of their head. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Right there, a lot of Jesus listeners would have been saying, time out, whoa, hold on, buddy. Do we need to take you to see somebody and talk through a few things? Because what you're saying right here does not make a whole lot of sense. It's like saying, I lay down my life for my pet snake or my pet rat. No, no you don't. The good shepherd does not lay down his life for the sheep. I mean, most normal shepherds who have all their mental facilities never would. Why? Well, for a number of reasons. Number one, they're sheep. They don't look like Lammy, who I brought up to the children's message today. If you've seen live sheep, they stink. They're dirty. Sheep don't have very good eyesight. Sheep are kind of dumb. Sheep are kind of a problem, to tell you the truth. And there's always more of them. If you're a shepherd, yes, they're your investment. You want to protect the flock. You're making your living off of the flock. And yes, you might even go through some trouble to find one that has gone away, but you don't lay down your life for the flock. I had an uncle who was a dairy farmer. And he really liked his cows. In a sense, he knew each one of his cows. They were his investment. He went through a whole lot of trouble to protect those cows. But I will tell you that my dear uncle, who was a dairy farmer, never would have run in front of an oncoming semi to save a cow, or given his liver or kidney to save a sick cow. Why? Because there are cows. You can make more of them. They're just cows. So when Jesus says these words, his audience would have been stopped in their tracks. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We're going to get into why that's so shocking and how shocking he loves this. But first of all, another shocking part of this that his audience would have had a trouble with. They would have started to pick up on this illustration that I already read to you. He's going through this in all of John 10. He's calling himself the good shepherd, but then, who are the sheep? Well, in this illustration, you are, and so am I. And we don't mind singing hymns like, I am Jesus' little lamb. We're going to sing that one later. I love it. They would have had a big problem with that 2,000 years ago. I am a helpless ball python. Yeah, no. I am somebody's pet rat. I don't want to sing that. They would have had that kind of problem about singing I am Jesus' little lamb, because they knew about lambs and sheep too. They knew all the descriptions of them I just gave. They're weak, they're helpless, they're dirty. God says, that's you. You thought Good Shepherd Sunday was going to be all fuzzy gospel. Sorry, we got to work through this part first. If I'm a sheep, what does that mean? Whew. It means I can't see very well, spiritually speaking. Lambs and sheep don't see very well. They will walk off cliffs at times if they aren't pulled back. I don't see what's coming next in life, neither do you. But I also don't see how dangerous it is to play around with sin at times. I think I can just kind of go on my merry little way and click here and there and drink this and that and think about this thing and that thing and do kind of whatever I want to do because it doesn't really matter at times. And the wolf is right there. Satan says, that's good. Get lazy. Don't think that you need God. Sheep aren't the most intelligent creatures, and sheep probably overestimate their own abilities. Why are you going to heaven? Well, because at least I'm better than so-and-so, or I've tried. No. If you're a sheep, you are completely helpless. Sheep cannot find their way to green pastures. They completely need a shepherd. They're completely dependent on the shepherd. Without the shepherd, they will die. They cannot go alone.
But we're sheep. We don't always think that or feel that. I'm going to be fine. I'm not really going to fall away. And do you know how sheep wander off? Sheep don't have the speed of stallions. Sheep don't say, greener pastures, brrrm, and they're gone in a second. No, sheep are very slow. This is how sheep wander off. It's one little step at a time. Yeah, I'll just go over here. Munch, munch. No, I'll go over there. Munch, munch. No, I'll keep going over there. One little step at a time until they've wandered so far away that are in trouble. We're sheep. Well, I couldn't quite make it to church this weekend because we had that soccer tournament and we had all that other stuff. But next weekend, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, but then, you know, we had that party on Saturday night and we stayed up kind of late. But next week, when is Easter coming up again? We'll get back to church. We'll get back to church. We'll get back there one day. I can't really have time for devotion. That's kind of hard, and how could I understand what the Bible says anyways? Well, this sin doesn't really hurt anyone. This sin no one knows about. This sin is just between me and myself, and we wander, and we lose our way, and sheep are dirty. And we try to dress up nice for church, and we clean ourselves up, but we know the dirt that we've rolled around in at times. And those times where we felt, how could I ever get clean again? You're sheep, and so am I. But if we can confess that and know that, then we can begin to understand how shocking and wonderful and beautiful it is what our Savior does. He lays down His life for the sheep. He goes like a sheep to the slaughter. And on the cross, He dies for all the dirt of my sin. For all the foolish and silly times I thought, I can get back to You later, God. I'm pretty much okay on my own. For all the silly times I've exchanged the green pastures where He wants to lead me to the trivial and meaningless, poisonous shrubs of my own sin and wants. But He goes and He dies for it all. And by His blood, He washes me clean. He makes me look like white wool in His sight. Though my sins are like red scarlet, they are washed away in white and pure and holy. And in the waters of baptism, He knows my name. He says, you belong to me. In fact, I put my name on you. You are part of my flock. And I will know you, and you will know me. And yes, I will know your sins, but then I will also know just how perfectly to apply my forgiveness and gospel to those sins that you wrestle with. I will know you inside and out. I will know your fears. I will know your worries. And I will know just perfectly how to help you through them. How shocking is this love? Not only does Jesus, the shepherd, want to lay down His life, He gets approval from the Father. Did you see this in verse 17? The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. The reason my Father loves me. It almost looks like the Father loves the sheep more than the shepherd. He's delighted that His Son, His only Son, would go be sacrificed for sheep. He delights in this, as the shepherd delights in this plan too. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves me. And that's the reason that I can have confidence in you too. As you keep going through the valley of the shadow of death, longing for things that will fill your heart and mind, do not be afraid. You don't see very far, neither do I, but our God sees all things. He's watched over you since the day you were born. He's planned from eternity how to save you. That means He's got next week too. It's going to be okay. Oh, and you and I get so distracted by so many voices in this world, but here's the good news. The words of our shepherd come accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit to break through all of that. So when we hear His voice, we can say, that's truth. That's hope. That's life. That's good.
And even though day by day we still wrestle saying, oh boy, I have this problem and that woe. In fact, some days I feel like I can't even go on. The Good Shepherd says, no problem. The Good Shepherd loves to use this technique. It's called picking you up and putting you on his arms. And shepherds do that for sheep. Sometimes they need to carry them, especially when they're wounded, especially when they feel weak. And Jesus says, I have no problem. I, who was wounded and pierced and smitten and stricken for you, but live forever, will help you and heal you and bind you and carry you. And I love this relationship. That's what our Savior says. I love this. You are my sheep. I am your shepherd. And I will take you through all of this so that nothing, neither life nor death, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, can separate you from my love. Until one day, in heaven, there will be a beautiful picture, a picture worth hanging on your refrigerator or anywhere in your home. And I bet some of you people already have this picture hanging. It's of Jesus with a lamb. And that lamb is you. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so, and because of that, I am Jesus' little lamb, and so are you. If that's good news, please reply to me when I say this to you. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.